assembly for the 72nd Legislative Assembly, General Government today. And Dallas Wine is representing us from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Karen Segers is our committee assistant. And this meeting was set up as an informational hearing on the facilities maintenance costs and charges. We have with us Lori Warner. Lori, would you go ahead, please? And for the record, a number of members wanted additional information. However, for one reason or another, those folks have been unable to join us just yet. So I hope that they will go ahead and tune in and attend so that they can get the full impact of your report. Lori, please.
Representative Bentler, for the record, my name is Lori Warner. I'm the Facilities Division Administrator for Department Administrative Services. Some background information. The majority of the facilities, about 80% that are served by the division, are under what we call the Uniform Rent Program. And those uniform rents are buildings that are owned by the Department of Administrative Services and are typically traditional office space where operating costs are very similar. The rate is $1.30 per square foot for the 2003-05 biennium, and the agencies are simply billed based on the square footage they occupy against the $1.30 per square foot. Now, there are 10 other agencies that have state facilities that are served by the division that are charged based on actual costs on the services they request. The facilities are either owned by the agency, like state land and PERS, or are unique in some way, like the motor pools, crime labs, etc. The negotiated agreements are reached with these agencies receiving services before the biennium begins. The agreements include an estimated cost based on the prior biennium's expenditures and a statement that the actual cost is what that will be reconciled to the estimate at the end of the biennium with payment or credit as needed. So Facilities Division staff began to meet with those state agencies in January to discuss the 2001-03 actual costs and to develop the 2003-05 agreements. In that process, agencies learned that the utility costs, like from PGE and Northwest Natural Gas and the sewer and water from the City of Salem, as well as personal services costs, expenses for 0103, were more than the 2-3% that was used as in the estimate to project those expenses.
That's the escalator is 2-3%?
That's what was used, Representative Butler, for the 0305 and 0103 budgets was 2-3%.
Okay.
So, for example, the PGE rates went up 35%, Northwest Natural Gas increased 35%, and the city sewer and water were 18%, and personal services costs averaged about 6.5% increase during that time period.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I'm sorry that I am coming late, so I'm jumping into this kind of in the middle. It couldn't have been a huge surprise that there was volatility in the energy market. Why would budgeting be done predicated on 2%?
Representative Chair Butler, Representative Johnson, I have been at the division 1 year, and so I'm giving you the historical as to what was done. I think it was a mistake in terms of, yes, the markets have been volatile. We couldn't have predicted exactly how volatile.
But 2%, I mean, that's something that I wouldn't mind having you ask someone who has been there. I guess what I'm trying to get a handle on is through a couple of committee hearings. There is stuff coming out of DAS about budgets that were out of whack that DAS knew about, and nothing happened. We're now hearing energy costs predicated on 2%, which just seems to me to ignore reality. And what I'm looking for is some restoration in my confidence that DAS is keeping their eye on the ball. I mean, yesterday we heard about a budget, it's DLCD's budget, where as far back as 2 years ago, there was an indication that people were being paid out of the wrong silos of money, and nothing happened. And now we come into this budget cycle, and the actual employee alignment and the PIC system are completely out of whack. And it has a kind of acid drip effect on being able to trust whether or not DAS is managing to a level that is responsive and responsible.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I can speak to the issues in the facilities division, and I will tell you that in this process of meeting with the agencies and discussing the 103 and looking at the records and figuring out just why things are the way they are, we have recognized, of course, that, you know, the agencies need more flexibility built into those costs so that there is some ability for changes to happen and not be have them be short. We realize that we need to communicate with them much earlier, and that we need to be meeting with them quarterly or every 6 months rather than just at the end of the biennium, which has been the practice. So we're working on all those issues for 03-05, and we'll make sure that the 05-07 budget numbers that they get as estimates are evaluated against some better criteria in terms of expectations. I hate to be delivering the message that I am. It's not, as you can guess, been pleasant to sit down with agencies and tell them, you know, the actual costs are considerably more than what you have budgeted, and we need to be, and we're discussing that at the end of the biennium. But yet, on the other hand, if these folks don't actually pay their actual costs, somebody else, some other agency, is going to be picking up those costs in the pool. And that doesn't seem appropriate either.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't dispute that, but I managed a state agency for a while, and if I had had DAS come back to me and apprise me of these breathtaking increases with kind of a, oops, you got to pay your actuals, as the rationale, I don't think I'd be very happy. And it makes my job then impossible.
I can't disagree with you, Representative Johnson. I think the issue here with these folks, the budget wasn't set up to account for the kind of cost changes that have actually occurred. I think the agreements they enter into with DAS tell them that this is an estimate and that they will be billed actuals. And so, therefore, you know, they have that notice ahead of time. But the fact of the matter is that the actuals need to be much closer to the budget, budgeted amount, for them to be able to manage their budgets.
One last thing. Everybody talks about running government like a business. Everybody talks about running government like a business. If I had in a business application one of my folks raise a contract by a factor of 10 or a factor of 15, that would suggest to me that that's an unreliable business relationship to be in. And the point that I'm trying to make is that DAS is supposed to be leading by example, is supposed to be helping to shepherd agencies through the good stewardship of their budgets and their funds. And for you guys to be this out of whack, I think, is terribly damaging. And it's one that I'm not satisfied to just say, well, you got to pay your actuals. It would erode my belief that DAS was an agency to emulate if I were trying to run a state agency with this kind of missing of numbers.
Representative Johnson, before you came in, we talked about the fact that the facilities division, the majority of the facilities that we cover are under uniform rent. That's about 80% of what we do. And we're talking about 10 agencies that have service agreements, that are buildings that are not traditional office space. So I think I can assure you for the buildings in the uniform rent pool, that sort of thing, that those numbers were developed accurately and covered the cost for the 03-05 biennium. Unfortunately, for these 10 agencies that have service agreements, that wasn't the case in terms of when these numbers were developed.
Okay. Thank you. Please continue.
And we're basically at this one. I'm trying to get that information, the numbers improved and the process improved, so that we are on track with what their actual more close to what their actual experience is going to be.
Okay. Please continue.
What are the 10 agencies? Madam Chair.
Senator Winters.
The 10 agencies are DAS, Oregon Department of Transportation, Employment Department, State Police, Veterans, the Arosha Lab, which is under Department of Consumer and Business Services in Portland, Public Employees Retirement System, State Lands, Line Commission, and the Supreme Court Building.
And the Blind Commission, those rates were delayed or supplemented over an extended period of time, were they not?
Well, and that's an issue. The Blind Commission, in the past, the Facilities Division had quite a bit of flexibility in working with agencies at the end of the biennium. It was able to carry the costs, the shortages between bienniums, and even forgive some agencies their costs, like the Blind Commission. Because there was a larger ending balance. And that ending balance was comprised of the operating funds and the rent stabilization fund. So the last of the rent stabilization fund was used this biennium, and the operating cash has been reduced to 30 days in order to hold the uniform rent rate at $1.30 for the 03-05 biennium. So our flexibility to either forgive the costs or carry the costs between bienniums is much reduced. Now, the Blind Commission, they were communicated with at the start of the 01-03 biennium and apprised of the fact that their budget was not consistent with what the actual costs were, and they have a budget package to actually correct that problem for the 03-05 biennium.
The problem is that, if I recall the percentage, they need to come up to the rental, actual rental fee is somewhere around 40% to 60%.
Senator Winters, they have been basically paying about half of what their costs have been for several biennium. That is true. And they've been basically forgiven that rent. And I met with him twice just recently this last week, and we went back over that. And that's a difficult position, but that's actually what has happened.
Well, they're back. I have yet. So, but for me in that budget, it is to try to reconcile that budget, and in this kind of an environment where, to be quite candid, I don't have the dollars to give them in order to make that up. So, I mean, it was a surprise to us that they have been subsidized for all these years, and then suddenly it's one of those oops that they have to come up with a big chunk of money that they don't have, and you're talking about a very, very small agency that does not have the ability to shift monies around. So do we put them out on the sidewalk?
Senator Winters, the issue for us is that if they don't pay their costs, some other agency is going to be paying their costs because it's a pool of resources. And so it's sort of a circular issue about if they don't pay, where do their costs get picked up?
Senator Winters, follow up.
Well, maybe, I don't know who came up with this configuration to begin with, where you have this pooling, and didn't look far out to what happens when you have a budgetary downturn and you know, all these kinds of issues, and you're trying to play catch-up from a policy that happened sometimes before. But still, I would have to piggyback with Representative Johnson. It's not a good way of doing business. To set up the scenario that way, and particularly if I look at the agencies that you have in here, your larger agencies are able to have a lot more flexibility in shifting your dollars than this little guy down here called the Blind Commission, who has very, very limited dollars to begin with in the first place.
Senator Winters, I just want to make sure folks understand there's the uniform rent pool, which is separate from these 10 agencies. These 10 agencies have costs that are different than the uniform rent pool. The uniform rent pool is for basic traditional office space where those costs are pooled, and it's very similar, and so people don't end up paying for each other's costs over time. It's fairly level, whereas these buildings are different kinds of buildings with different costs, and they are charged their actuals.
Go ahead.
At this point, I've kind of run through what I was going to share with folks, so if there's other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We're trying to meet with each of these agencies and make sense of what needs to happen for them.
Just as a follow-up to Senator Winter's line of questioning, meeting with the agencies and making sense what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Blind Commission?
Representative Johnson, the Blind Commission we've met with twice, and their policy package that's in their budget basically brings their rent up to what their actual costs are for 0305. There remains $120,000 from this biennium, 0103, that they do not have resources to pay. And basically the facilities division, if that is the case, then those resources will not be recouped, and it will affect the operating balance in the facilities division, and that ultimately then will go into the next biennium's calculations for what charges are. So it's spread and absorbed.
Okay.
And we have less flexibility to do that because of the changes that have happened in our own budget.
All right. Dallas, anything to...
If I may...
Please.
Sure, just to... We had a discussion before, Ms. Warner and I, and I'd like to get it on the record if we could, about the Public Employees Retirement System has stated that they would probably be able to go out and get these maintenance and janitorial services at the same, if not lesser, cost. And you had explained to me some of the cost drivers that you had with respect to those that you have that they may be able to avoid. Could you...
Well, Representative Johnson Dallas, the agencies choose which services they want to purchase from us under the service agreement. So that's a choice, and the level of service they wish to have. They wish to have more custodial or less custodial than we traditionally do, or more or less maintenance. That's their particular choice, and they can control those costs. They can also go to the private market if they want to and look to see if they can get services at a reduced cost in their particular area. And that may be the case. They have to use QRFs where QRFs exist and can provide those services. And they traditionally have not been less expensive than using DAS services. But there's lots of... options on the agency's part, I think, to look at how they control these costs. Their utility costs are the same way. They can decide to have their buildings set at lower temperatures. They can decide to have different kinds of things done that impact their costs. And we're going to have all those kind of conversations with them this time around in terms of saying, how do you want to manage these costs so you live within your budget in the next biennium? And when you call us and ask for a service request, we want to make sure that you understand whether you have the resources to cover that and whether you really need to do that right now. So we're going to have those kind of management conversations about managing the building.
Thank you.
Lori, I beg your pardon for having been out and beg the committee's indulgence. I assume that you've talked about the issues of the in addition to the uniform rents on the state-owned buildings and the state-operated building, the difference between the rents with and without various levels of service, custodial service on non-state-owned buildings versus having a state-provided custodian. Have you discussed that in your discussion here today?
We just were talking about it.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Are there further questions then for Lori? I feel like we've covered it, Representative Johnson.
I do, Mr. Chair. I guess what I'm looking for is something that closes the loop, some resolution. We sit in these committees, we talk to the agencies, everybody says something's going to come of it. I'm looking for the loop closer. Is there a way that we, when we do work session on DAS's budget, that we could look for a budget note that has a report back on the resolution of this problem, so there's some standard to hold DAS to in succeeding biennium?
I would think that DAS needs to be more responsive rather than reactive to the fact that, oh, well, the last 24 months is a total catastrophe. Here's your bill. I think that those kinds of things, I believe that we pay DAS these services. We are charged these uniform rents and the other uniform assessments in order for them to manage these overhead costs. And what happens is that at any point when DAS comes back and says, well, guess what, you're out of balance by 100%, that really isn't managing costs as much as it is just being reactive to the situation. And we really need to have interim oversight exercised by DAS. Now, Lori, I have no question that under your oversight that you will do that, that you won't be expending 8% of a budget amount that's in your budget for the full year, for the full biennium, when it really ought to be going out at 4% without at least some bells and whistles ringing going off.
Can I clarify for just a second here, because we're really not talking about the uniform rent side of this, which is 80% of the business. We're really talking about the 10 agencies that have service agreements where they're given an estimate at the beginning of the biennium, and then the agreement says they'll pay actuals when the biennium ends.
And so what you're telling us, Lori, is that the uniform rents for 80% of the state were right on.
They're right, yes.
Okay, 100%. And so was the 3% projected in the uniform rents that utilities wouldn't increase more than 3%?
No, the uniform rent calculations were based on the history with the utilities and them going up and then coming down slightly and then projected to go back up again. So the uniform rent pool accounted for the utilities, accounted for the personal services changes. These service agreements did not. They
and I think what Representative Johnson is saying is that, wait a minute, why within the uniform rent structure is it one way, and then we play a pretend game in another. And really what we need to do is, by avoiding the pretend game, that it won't happen, go ahead and make sure that there's some connectivity between what's done with the one and what's
done with the other. I agree with you totally.
Okay.
The service agreements need to be built on the same model that the uniform rent.
And you'll be doing that.
And we will be doing that.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
I would be happy if somewhere along the line there was some kind of a report. It doesn't have to be a lengthy report, but some indication that somebody's watching the store as far as having this 2%. I keep coming back to that. I mean, that's just unrealistic to the point of being kind of laughable.
Well, Representative Johnson, I think that we could do that in the form of a report back to the emergency board in the interim.
I think that would be fine.
And give it a full 12 months into operation so that we have 12 months of experience and bills having been paid. I also have expressed, as you're well aware, and I think you share with me the same concern, about motor vehicle costs. We budget a small increase, and the governor says, well, we shouldn't have any increases, so we budget back to about where we're at. And the reality of the story is that we're budgeting on a dollar and 5 cents gasoline in a time when we're paying $2.05 in a time when it might back off to $1.55.
Mr. Chair, if you'll give me leave, that you've made my point. Also, something that snaps us out of the attitude that we made a deal at the beginning of the biennium and we don't have to look at it again until the end. There ought to be some markers throughout to just target how are we performing against our projections. Has something geopolitically or something triggered an increase in gas prices? I just don't think it's good enough to wait 2 years and then at the end say, oops, you're contractually bound to pay actuals and actuals are a factor of 15. I just don't think that's good enough. And particularly as DAS is poised to be the best business practices, the best management techniques are embedded there. I guess I'm not in much of a mood to cut DAS a whole lot of slack about failure to keep track of the budgeting when other agencies are being expected to follow a leadership example from the Department of Administrative Services.
And in that regard, we will ask for a report midway through and with specific direction that all costs have been examined relative to the uniform or estimated rates that are being charged, whether or not they are on target, similar to what we do with regard to any time we commit to a information technology package, that we're on target for coming into budget, as opposed to allowing these kinds of overages to occur and then sending the bill at the end. And Lori, that, again, I'm not trying to massacre the messenger here. I'm just saying that really we need that oversight, because and Representative Johnston, you've managed your own companies as well as a large State Department. My concern is that it really isn't management. That's just being reactive to a failure to manage is what it is. And I think that we do have too much embedded costs in Department of Administrative Services overhead to just say, fine, we're just paying for reactive, and I won't even call it management. We're just calling for reactive measures to be taken at the end of the budget period, and that it isn't fair to anyone. It certainly isn't fair to DAS. It isn't fair to you, Lori, but it certainly isn't fair to the agency or anyone that agency serves either. So, with that, we'll request that, Dallas, if we can make note of that. And we'll go ahead then, and thank you very much, Lori. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And close the meeting. Until Monday.